There are some things you should always check, like the hygiene rating on your local takeaway, the setting on your razor, and whether the party actually is fancy dress. The other thing you should check is your Experian credit report, especially if you're looking to borrow money. It lets you understand what lenders see, so you can increase your chances of getting the best deals. It's dead easy to check it, and completely free. See it in seconds. Download the Experian app today.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the top five killers of men.
I think the root of all of that is money.
I mean, men who are not capable of doing things that men should be able to do. Cardiovascular disease, the big takeaway here, it's the number one killer of men. It's a really big deal. Until next time.
Take care.
Take care.
Provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.
Well, everybody, welcome to the Dose Adjustment Podcast. I'm your co-host, Abir Rahimi, along with Chris Hasenauer.
How you doing?
Welcome back, Chris.
Yeah, good day.
Yeah, awesome. Well, today we're going to be talking about the top five killers of men and what we should do about them, at least some initial steps. But before we get into that, I want to jump into just some headlines, if you don't mind. I woke up this morning, and I'm looking at everything that's going on right now in the news, in the Trump administration, if you will, about this Make America Healthy Again movement, right? And if I understand it correctly, they've identified that we as Americans are sick, diseased, poisoned somewhat by food, as we were talking about earlier, maybe overprescribed, and just not moving near enough, and it's affecting adults and children, right? So it seems really, really practical to me to what they're saying, what they're trying to tackle. However, why is there so much opposition? Like, people are losing their minds. School teachers, medical professionals, doctors, lawyers, everybody is losing their mind, or so it seems, at least in the media, about what this administration is trying to do to tackle this epidemic. What's the deal?
It's money.
Okay.
I think the root of all of that is money and kind of control measures, right? Like, just with all people. So, come from a very obvious military background. How's the military get you healthy? They take all of the things that you do and they control them.
Right.
You go to basic training. You're going to wake up at this time. You're going to exercise at this time. This is exactly what you're going to eat. You don't really get the choices on what it is. You do this, you do this, you do this. You're going to go see this medical provider. They're going to tell you what to take. Boom, boom, boom. So, I mean, that is the epitome of socialized medicine, 100%. But it's also hyper-funded socialized medicine because it's for a very specific purpose, right? It's to feed the machine, the combat machine, the military, and all that. So, I mean, there's all of those pieces, but all of that stuff is money. I mean, big pharma, you know, they pay for their own studies on their own drugs. They, you know, which through the FDA approval process, they however that's getting...
Which the New England Journal of Medicine vehemently denies that any studies are biased in any way, of course, right?
Right, but I mean, but there are so many other medical drugs. Absolutely, they do. Of course they do, but...
That's what they're saying, at least.
But how many of them, and we know this. I mean, how ever pay for play?
Yep, 100%.
We get them, and they'll reach out to us. Hey, you want to publish anything you got? It costs this much money to publish. Doesn't, you know, so I mean, it's...
I think for me, the thing that's infuriating is this is the greatest country in the world. I firmly believe that, right? We have the greatest military in the world. We've given the world the greatest technological advancement the world has ever seen. And we are, I can't say for confidence we're the sickest nation in the country. That's probably not true.
I've done a lot of traveling. I think it is. I mean,
but we are nowhere where we need to be. And for something like money, I think this is what's frustrating. You're a healthcare professional. I'm a healthcare professional. There are ways to serve and make money and make people healthy while not banking on chronic diseases and then being sick, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I 100% agree with that. I mean, I feel like my goal with every patient is to get you in, stabilize, get you treated, get you what do you need? Because, I mean, obviously there are cases and there are things where people need medication, right? Like if you get type 2 diabetes and it's past a certain point, you're not coming off insulin. You're not coming, you know, you need those control measures. But we can improve your quality of life. Right. So, I mean, if you look at, okay, so take, not even take all of Europe or whatever, just take Scandinavia, you know, Denmark, Norway, whatever. They're at half of the rate, if not less, of any chronic disease or anything that we have in the United States. Diabetes, obesity, heart disease, half. Japan matches us in some of those chronic diseases, but their longevity and quality years are almost a decade longer in their lifespan.
Right.
Right. So there's a, you know, there's obviously genetic components to some of these things that are, you know, obviously certain people are predisposed to certain conditions and all of the things that come with genetics. But, you know, if you have a similar hypertension rate in Japan, but they're getting a decade more life, what is it? Is it diet? Is it the fact that, you know, it's, there's a much larger physical exercise culture in those countries? I mean, there's all those pieces.
For sure. For sure. Well, I think we're going to talk more about this, but at the end of the day, I like what the administration is doing. Are they perfect? No. Have they nailed everything? No. Is RFK a perfect human? Has he ever reversed course on something? Of course, probably. But the fact that this administration is actually trying to do something to make this country healthy again is very encouraging to me, for mm-hmm. sure. Now, you had an opportunity to meet RFK, I believe, so spent some time with him. You know, what do you think is at the heart of his intentions and everything that he's doing to help the administration right now? Knowing that he's not perfect, but what is his intentions?
From the things I got, I mean, he 100% believes in what he's doing. I mean, one, and he's seen in his own life, you know, if you look at his stuff, I mean, he had a drug addiction problem. He's absolutely all about, you know, being sobriety, going, doing the things he does do. His health, I mean, just look at him. The dude's 70 years old. He's a beast.
Amazing. I mean, better shape than me by far, and he's 40 years older, 30 years older.
So, yeah. I mean, there you go. I mean, proof's in the pudding. I mean, something he's doing is working, whatever, all the different things. So I think that it's really just looking at it and kind of, he's looking at it, I mean, he's an attorney by trade. So, I mean, I think he's looking at it from a RICO thing. Like, what is the connection with the money? Follow the money. Like, who's benefiting from people being sick? And if you break that down, how do you get ahead of that so that you can get people to a place where they can be healthy and where it's a feasible, reasonable, and affordable thing to do to be healthy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have had people tell me personally that, I'll give some context around it, but I'm the worst pharmacist ever because we're trying to get people off of these chronic medications, right? And so I had another pharmacist pull me aside and said, hey, I love your videos. I love what you're doing. I love that you're encouraging people to eat healthy and walk and sleep and do all these things, but you're going to put yourself out of business. And my response to that is like, good. I think the battle is big. I think it's going to be long. I'm going to have a full career of dispensing medications. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, I would rather encourage somebody to walk and sleep and sell them a really, really high quality vitamin that improves their quality of life. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I'm going to make the same $1.50 or $3 off that vitamin that I will off of an insulin pen or whatever it might be. So worst pharmacist ever. We are trying to get our patients off medications, try to be healthy. There is always going to be a place for medication. I chose this career because of the magic, right, of certain medications and how they impacted me.
I was kind of the same way. And it was funny because I was absolutely all about allopathic medicine. I was like, oh, like Eastern medicine, like all this stuff. And like I've slowly come around to seeing both sides of the coin. I think with anything, you have a very wide right and left limit. But if you look at all the things, I mean, half the world practices Eastern medicine, so it's not all bullshit. You know, like it's 100%. You know, like you can go and do other therapeutic things. I mean, we essentially do acupuncture. I mean, they call it nerve stimulating, the thing, you know, dry needling and the different things. I mean, we just changed the name. I mean, obviously there's something to it.
For sure.
So when you look at it, I think it is a complete approach. I think that you can take bits and pieces of all of it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's going to be our spiel, so to speak, on the headlines. We're going to talk more on this from time to time. I think at the end of the day, the heart and the intention is really good behind what they're trying to do. And, you know, for me, don't put too much faith in the government, right? You got to make your own decisions, get with a really good PCP, which we're going to talk more about later. But let's get back into the show. So You know, what we're talking about today is that, you know, most men are not dying in the correct order. They're dying earlier than they should be, or even decaying at ages earlier than they should be. When I say decaying, I mean men who are not capable of doing things that men should be able to do. So we're seeing individuals who are in their mid-20s and 30s. They literally, you know, couldn't go out and split wood. They literally couldn't go out and build anything. They couldn't help you, you know, remove a transmission from a car. They don't have the physical strengths. They don't have the energy. They are addicted to the sugar, which we're going to talk a lot about. But just these men are not capable of doing the things that men should do in the greatest country on earth, right? Yeah. And so that's what we want to focus in on today. And then, you know, we're talking about the top five killers, you know, and I'll say that my last two bosses that I worked for at my previous company, they both died suddenly, one in their 50s, one in their 60s. I think one had some warning signs and the other was completely out of the blue. It was a heart attack situation. Heartbreaking.
Absolutely. Well, you look at that. So, I mean, beyond the research on the increased cardiovascular risks from COVID shots and post-COVID habit and the different things that go into it with diet and exercise, you know, things that we don't do. Diets are crap. Exercise is nothing. You know, we're not doing the things we do. There's a study that was just released for people that start doing significant working, like a good solid workout regime, can take 20 years of heart aging off by getting good quality lifting, walking, you know, just doing basic things to improve their cardio.
What's the time range on that? So 20-year reversal of heart disease, is that after they're doing that for a year or a year and a half?
I would say it's an intensity thing. You know, like I'd say you're going to have outliers here, but I think the study says about a year. But you think, okay, so guys like our age, like they drop dead of a heart attack. You know, why? Well, that 35 to 55, like widowmaker heart attack zone is a real thing because, so we have, you know, VEGF in our heart and it makes collateral circulation. That's a slow process, right? So we make these tiny little things that go around coronary arteries and they make our heart kind of adapt to our shitty diet. You know, the body's pretty amazing. It's like, okay, you're gonna try to kill me? Well, I would like to stay alive. So let's, you know, let's do this. So we have that. Well, it takes a long time to make those. So in that 35 to 55 rate, you have those widowmaker heart attacks and you have a higher, the survival rate starts to change in older populations because they've made these collateral circulations and kind of changed their heart health. Now they're still struggling. And that kind of goes back to quality of life years and all the other things, because what can you do once you get that? Like, you're not optimized.
Sure. Yep. So I think we led into it, right? Yeah. Heart disease, it's the number one killer of men. Statistics will say that your first cardiovascular event, 50% chance it will be fatal.
Yep.
There'll be no warning. There'll be no ability to get to the hospital. I do see at times, I had another really good friend, and he is probably 4 years older than me. He had lost a tremendous amount of weight too in the previous years. He was in great shape. Really high strung dude. Everything stressed him out, you know, in life. He did make it to the hospital. They checked him out. They said he was fine. They released him. He died later that night. You know, but the point being with cardiovascular disease is you may not get another shot. You know, it's not like the movies. You go in and, you know, you take some aspirin, you go in. It's not guaranteed that you're coming back out of that hospital bed.
Right. But it's also like even if you do and you lose ejection fraction and you lose all of the other things that come with it, you lose heart muscle, you know, that muscle, myocardial infarction is a lot of big words for heart muscle died.
Yeah.
Like it gets, you're not getting it back. So when you lose those things, well, then you look at the other side of it. You're talking about diet and supplementation stuff. So then you look at like the pathway of like cholesterol. Yes. Cholesterol in those patients needs to be monitored. You need to maintain it in those things. But cholesterol is not the only enemy there. You're talking about calcium. You're talking about all kinds of things because take the cholesterol and then you have calcium that like third space into your vasculature because it's not being pulled with vitamin D, vitamin K to the places where it needs to go in your bones and your other tissues. And it kind of hardens the plaque in the arteries. And now you have essentially calcium, like think of it like grout.
Yeah.
You know, you start mixing it and then it hardens. And now it's like gravel and you break that loose. Well, that isn't going to really spread out. So if it's going to block something, that's a problem. You know, so that's why they do calcium scoring and the other things that they do now. And there is you know, there's so much you can do to improve your health. Just like I said, diet, exercise, supplementation. You can take people, you can get their cholesterols down. Now, cholesterol has a genetic component on the other side, and you have to watch these things. But I think that all in all, like, you just quality patient education, because, you know, I'll stand on, you know, die on this hill. You know, CrossFit superhuman keto diet is going to have cholesterol that's through the roof. That's not the same thing as the guy that's sitting in his recliner eating Big Macs, not doing anything. It's not the same thing.
100% agree. So cardiovascular disease, in upcoming episodes, we're going to talk a lot about how to select the right PCP, the types of conversations you should have with him. And then we're going to give you practical strategies on what you can be doing day to day to help reduce that risk of cardiovascular disease. The big takeaway here, it's the number one killer of men. It's a really big deal. You should be having conversations with your PCP about how do we prevent cardiovascular disease. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. The number two killer in men and humans, frankly, right, is cancer. Yep. And cancer is from my perspective, seems to be on a tremendous uptick, right?
But cancer is the number one killer of dogs right now. I mean,
crazy.
That's insane.
Crazy. And so I think there's a lot of factors going in here, but there's a few things that we know for sure. But early detection, right? That's what you always tell me, early detection. So maybe walk me through, what does that look like with people who come to your practice? And everybody's individual, so I want to make sure that we call that out. But what are the screenings necessarily that you are recommending they do, and what are those age cutoff points?
Well, so we're kind of looking at a few things, and family history and all the other things come in, you know. So, like, you should get esophageal colorectal screenings, like your endoscopy, colonoscopy things. That kind of waves based on your family history, but typically 45, you want to have your first one done. You know, really no later than 50, but I think
an opinion on they've got one that you can actually ship to your house on that? What's your thought?
So basically, if you get one that's positive, you need to follow up with the other testing because it's testing for cancer, you know, DNA, so they're a good screener. Okay. But if you've already had an incident, you don't want to use that. I mean, you want to use the cameras and, like, you know, take a look kind of thing. Now, women obviously should get their well-woman exams, pap smears, all those things, and get that and follow that. They have the recommended time right then for them is, if it's a good one, you have 3 years in between.
Yeah, I think so.
You can do some lab testing. There are some genetics testing that you can do to see what your predisposition for cancer is. So there's some you know, you're kind of looking at the expense versus what you can afford versus what's covered by your insurance and those kind of things. But a lot of screenings, smokers, you can get low radiation CTs for lungs. Right. You know, you get your lung cancer screenings and all of those different things. Obviously, skin cancer checks. Everybody. You go to the dentist twice a year, you go to the dentist at least once a year, you come see your primary care, so you need to see a dermatologist.
Yep.
You live in Florida, especially if you live in Florida, like, you got to see a dermatologist. Skin cancer.
I was going to say, like, give us the practical tips, right? So you're a guy riding along in the car, you're watching this podcast, so you just call up a dermatologist and make an appointment. Does it have to be a referral? How do they navigate it?
Okay, that kind of depends on your insurance. Okay. If your insurance requires referrals.
Perfect.
If not, you can go and, I mean, right now they've even got dermatology skin exams online.
Okay.
They use cameras and AI, and they look and say, okay, you should get that checked. You know, like, so you can, now they can't treat it, obviously, but if you catch it early,
right,
you're just hitting it with a little, you know, free spray, or you're hitting it with
a little fluorouracil,
basically strip it off.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your skin cancer stuff.
Okay, so that's skin cancer. So in regards to, like, colon cancer screenings, mm-hmm. that is a referral-based?
Yes, that is referral-based, because you're going to need to see a gastroenterologist to go do both of those. Primary care can get you in there, and we go over history and say, hey, you may need to get this earlier. Okay, you had a good one. You've actually, you know, there's people that come in like, oh, I had that a few years ago. I don't need to go back for this many years. Or they come in, they're like, oh, well, I'm having this symptom. It's like, all right, well, we need to recheck this, you know. So just because they said you don't, if something changes, that changes the criteria.
100%. So early detection, 100% key. We want to encourage everybody listening to this, have this conversation with your PCP. Listen, I'm the type of guy who doesn't want to go and get really anything done, right? Because I think that I know a lot about being healthy and this and that, but the reality is that you can know all that you want. Unfortunately, you can't see
I've lost, exactly. And I mean, even that in exposures, I mean, just depends on what you do for a living too.
Sure.
Like, I've lost 4 good friends, military age males, to cancer from whatever they've been exposed to, you know, and they have no family history and predisposition. And so, like, you look at things like Hunter 7 Foundation, and they're all about this. This is their nonprofit that does full body CTs for veterans and first responders, and they get in there and they're all about it because the numbers are staggering in certain career fields, how much higher
the
cancer rate is.
Yeah. I'll say I had a family member, you know a little bit about this, but I had a family member who was experiencing blood in the urine. They thought it was a kidney thing, messed around with it for, you know, 8 months or a year, ends up getting in a car accident, has a full CT scan, and they identified a bladder cancer, you know, was growing. So the accident was devastating. They were trauma-hawked and all this. We're so lucky to have him alive. But ultimately, you know,
the scan saved him.
Ended up saving him. So get your screenings. As men, we have to get our screenings right. We've got families that depend on us.
And I mean, so we do some screens like PSAs for men, right? Okay, yeah. So that's a screening tool. Yeah. Right.
So explain that. Like, break it down for me.
Prostate specific antigen, PSA. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have people on HRT. We check it a little more often, but every male should get it checked. And it's released by your prostate, and at a certain level, you know, you have these normal levels that exist, and you can have benign prostatic hyperplasia where your prostate gets bigger. And that's why men get up and go to the bathroom, and your urinary stream is slower, and all the other different things. But
why are businesses like HelloVet choosing Apple products and services?
One of the great things about Apple products is that it's really easy for us to handle the security, the updates, the pre-installed applications. We've been able to do that without a dedicated IT support team.
Find out how Apple products and services can help you run your business at apple.co/HelloVet.
Get a free bet when you bet £5 every week of the Premier League season and a big boost every day. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's garage style.
18 plus, 1st of September to 24th of May. Opt-in weekly. Selected Premier League markets. Match one free bet per week. Values vary. Restrictions and T&Cs apply. Daily odds boosts. T&Cs on ladbrokes.com. Gambleaware.org.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just speaking into the void? But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers, a network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, role, seniority, skills, company revenue, and did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend £200 on your first campaign and get a £200 credit for the next one. Go to linkedin.com/lead to claim your offer. Terms and conditions apply.
Prostate cancer is kind of one of those things that you're going to get it if you live long enough.
Right.
Like it's just how it is. Like your prostate just does this. If you live long enough, if you're in your 90s, you're going to die with it, probably not from it.
Right.
But you need to get it checked because if you hit it when you're young, like all those things. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to come in and get a finger shoved up their butt. Yep. You know, they're like, I don't want to do that part, right? It's like, look, okay, if the labs come back, we got to do what we got to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, it's a screening tool, and then obviously you need exam and some ultrasounds, and it gets a little more intensive. But once you do that, like even patients that get it caught early, the treatment is so much less invasive.
Yeah.
That, you know, like, it's much better to be able to go in and maybe zap it with some radiation and do that than to have your prostate take it out. I mean, the way they have to go to get to it, that surgery is a little intense.
And I think they're actually doing a new procedure now. Not that it's replacing the old, but they're actually, they're cauterizing the arteries and whatnot. So they're cutting off the nutrient flow to the prostate, and the tumors are shrinking tremendously or disappearing.
And that's the cool, I mean, cancer research is mind blowing. Some of the things they get to and where they go with it. And that'll be a whole other topic, but I mean, it's such a wide, wide topic. I mean, here's my thing. You know your body better than anyone else is going to know your body. if something's weird, come talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
And then we'll investigate it and figure out what it is.
Get it checked out. Yeah. Take the time.
Don't ignore it.
100%. All right. Very good. Going to move on to number three. So this is accidental deaths and suicide. Mm-hmm. And so we're really honing in on men in this conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Because there seems to be, I don't want to say a tremendous increase in suicide rate, but it is trending upward. I will say that. And mm-hmm. we have not, you know, as far as I see on the data from CDC, if that can be believed, mm-hmm. we're not making any significant progress in the reduction in suicide rates. And we'll talk about reckless behavior and whatnot after that. But based on the data that I see, it looks like about 4,000 individuals per month mm-hmm. in this country, a little bit more than that, yep. are committing suicide. And I think it's something that's impacted all of us personally. It's devastating when you find out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you process those sort of things, but I immediately start to go to, should I have reached out more? Mm-hmm. Was there something I should have seen? I wish I could have done something different. I wish I wasn't as busy. And that's my perspective. There's a whole other perspective of people who are considering option.
So I have been suicidal, and I have attempted suicide. And like I said, I'll talk to anybody about it, because I think suicidal people see it as a solution. Like, everything is so bad that I'm going to use it. It is a solution. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it's going to stop everything that's wrong.
Right.
And it's in the sense of what it is almost like you're treating your wound in that moment. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a fallacy of thought.
Sure.
100% it is. There is a way back. There's always a way back. If you have issues, if you think you are suicidal, if you need help with suicidal ideation and behavioral stuff, contact us, call, reach out. We can help you. I know that there is a way forward with it, because I'm living proof that there is. So when I go back to that, what I'll say is that they see that as a solution. But suicide typically firsthand affects 35 to 40 people for an individual to commit suicide, like significantly affects their behavioral health, all the things that go with it.
So explain that to me. I want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying here.
So if I had committed suicide, the amount of people that would have absolutely blossomed out to affect. So
100%. Okay.
So, yep. And then it's like and then with children, mm-hmm. if your parents commit suicide, you are 10 times more likely to commit suicide.
Right.
Like, your suicide risk increases by a factor of 10.
Yeah, dad did it. That was the way out.
This is the way out, right? So it is exponential. Now, it almost always comes with a sort of like hyper-impulsive suicides, which males tend to lean way more to the hyper-impulsive state in emotional states, like hyper-impulsive suicides. It comes with another behavioral health problem. Depression, PTSD, substance abuse, like all of these things, like they're all comorbid. Like it's there's something that got you there.
Okay. So, right? So you said depression, PTSD.
Bipolar disorder. Okay, bipolar. I mean, there's a litany of almost all behavioral health things, like, you know, like going back with substance abuse. Substance abuse is never a primary diagnosis. Nobody's just like, I'd like to try a little heroin.
Yeah.
You know, something got you there.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, so it's those pieces. So when you look at that, like, how do we prevent suicide? I would say that if someone truly is committed to the act, you can't prevent it. It doesn't matter. Like if they get to that place, that prevention. Now, bringing them back when they're not quite there, yes, there's lots of things you can do. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to unpack that, because there's shame from getting there. There's guilt. There's all of these things. There's like what traumas got them to that point. What, you know, it is a litany of things. But I'm also at the point where, in my own journey with behavioral health and in my doctorate and my treatment of patients and all of these things that I do in this field, you've no behavioral health condition is cured. They all heal. Because the patient has to be an active participant in the process. You cannot cure a behavioral health disorder. So you have to take the patient, make them an active participant, and recognize all facets of it. You know, again, going back to something simple, diet, exercise, socioeconomic, where you're at, what you've got going on in your life. How do you, the medications you need or you're on. I mean, because there are conditions where you're going to need medications for stabilization. There's also a lot of people that are over-medicated.
Right.
So there's a thing where you have to go back and talk to your provider and talk to your therapist and talk, you know, so that's the other thing that people kind of, when they get into that side of it, it's a broad treatment thing, right? You're going to have a therapist, like somebody you need to talk to for talk therapies, whether it's a psychologist, psychiatrist, licensed clinical social worker, licensed mental health counselor, church pastor, whatever. That's a big component of it.
Yeah.
Then there's the medical side. Okay, is there another reason? I mean, is it something as simple as your thyroid just shit the bed and now you're depressed because yeah. you're, you know, the fatigue, and there's like or a neurochemical thing that we can address? You know, are there organic causes? You have to rule all that out. And then you have to look at all the pieces and make a treatment plan that is the patient is able to follow.
Right.
Right? And then you look at your side of it, the pharmacy stuff. So you also look at behavioral health meds. Okay, well, these are the side effects. Well, this is the other stuff that they've got. Yeah. All right, they've got this, this, and this. They can't take this. Yep. This is going to cause these side effects.
Or even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we feel a little bit better, but we can't perform sexually anymore. Exactly. We don't have any desire anymore, and so I'm more depressed.
Right.
You know,
so, or cycle. Tardive dyskinesia. Great. Right. You know, like just all these different things. So if you just start sacking these things, it's like, whoa, what can we do? Like all the other things, like what are the modalities we can use? You know, like EMDR, hypnotherapy. Like for PTSD, for some of our patients, I started doing jujitsu therapy with them a while ago. Yep. Like we'd take them out of the mat, like because you know that they have a thing where they panic. So like, okay, we're going to trigger this response. Like, okay, well, we're going to get one of these jujitsu black belts to roll you up till you panic, and then we're going to talk you down.
Yep.
Like, so we've done all of these things with it where the human brain is this massively complicated chemical computer. And if you look at it from the side of, is it a hardware problem or a software problem? And then how do you fix it?
Right. Okay. So, big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Probably deserves more time to talk about it. But the first step that a man or a woman should take, if they are feeling that way, the first step, who should they reach out to? What's the best resource? And I don't mean like a telephone number. It could be a telephone number. But is it a, you know, is it the PCP? Is it the pastor of their church? What do you recommend?
Find anybody you can talk to and do not be alone.
Okay.
Right? Like if you're I'm sure there are minuscule instances where somebody that's been actually accompanied with someone where there has been, you know, has committed suicide. I'm sure it's happened, but
yeah.
You know, like we're in these minimal cases. Find somebody that you trust. So at least you're with somebody. You can go to the ER. You know, I'm suicidal, go to the ER, right? Call your PCP, call your pastor, but find somebody. 911 is valid. Hey, I'm suicidal. That's a real thing, right?
Yep.
Do it.
And there's like a 988 number,
yeah,
right?
988, the national suicide number, right? Okay. So all of those things, if you're a veteran, you can call the VA. You can the bottom line is you can, there is somebody that will help you and we can help you. It is not a bottomless pit and there's help out there. Just if you get to that place, don't be alone and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Work the process.
I know we got to wrap up soon, but if you're on the other side, right? So you're somebody who's observing somebody else who you think may be suicidal and I see this one a lot. People who joke about suicide,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking barium enemas or, you know, a lead suppository to the head, things of that nature. And it's a common workplace joke. How would somebody like me practically go around about addressing it?
Just point blank ask them. Are you suicidal? Ask them. Because most people, one, they don't expect the question.
Yep.
And when you ask, they have to think about it. And then if they say they are, do you have a plan?
A plan in as to how to do it?
Yeah.
Like they've thought it through?
Yeah, thought it through. Because suicidal, like, it's a very complicated, like as I said, it'd take a whole episode of like where we go down the rabbit hole of this. But all human beings have, at some point, had some kind of suicidal thought.
Yeah.
It's part of the human condition.
For sure.
I mean, it's a wonderful life. That's the whole premise of the movie. It's a Christmas movie, right?
Yep.
So like those pieces of it, it's a very final solution for a very complicated issue that you have to unravel piece by piece. And you just do it if you can do it with compassion and care. And the hard part is that the compassion and care that they need, they don't get till they get to that point. So then you're backstopping in there. So like if you think somebody's there, just ask them, be kind to them, help them.
Yep.
You know, especially with somebody close to you, just ask them point blank.
That's interesting. You know, you say that every man at some point becomes suicidal, and right, that's probably not something that most people would admit or talk about because we're men and we're strong, and obviously the data, you know, speaks otherwise. I can say that for myself, I've never really had any sort of full committing to doing it or any seriousness of doing it, but there was a time in my life where I was working so hard, so diligently, up early, up late, getting after it, doing the stuff for my family, and these situations were starting to happen around me, and I was starting to catch flack, maybe, right, from people who I care and trust most about. And in those moments, you start to say to yourself, maybe it would just be easier. You know, and that's as far as it went for me, but you can get to that place no matter who you are, no matter how many positive thoughts you think, right? I'm a positive guy.
Well, I mean, absolutely. But I mean, look at it, like how many rock stars, how many, you know, like, you know, they got everything, they're rich. That's not the answer. Like there's behavioral health is so much more complicated than that.
Agreed. Well, we're going to dive more into this topic. If suicide is something that you've been thinking about or is on your mind or you're depressed, get help. Reach out to us. Reach out to somebody. It's a really big deal. And then we'll say accidental death is the number four killer of men under 45. It's a really big deal.
It kind of speaks to itself.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, hold my beer. Watch this. That's I mean, I see that, but I also see that as, I don't know, do a risk assessment. We're Americans. We do dumb shit.
Well, right, and that's always the balance, right? So if you look, like, we have 20,000 unintentional deaths per year or per month, in the U.S., right? And how do you balance that? Like, boys will be boys, right? But how do we get them not to be stupid?
That's an age-old question, right? Like, yeah. I just watch the difference in my own kids.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm like,
and that's the root of my question too. I'm looking at my kids like, hey, yes, go climb that tree. Go have fun. Go jump off that tree. Go jump off that rock. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, my daughters, hey, you know, my grandfather years ago planted a mango tree.
Yep.
My daughters, we'd like to go get some mangoes. They go over, they reach up, pull a couple mangoes down, put them in a basket, go eat their mangoes. Yep. My son, hey, dad, I'm going to get a mango. Like, okay. I look over, he's at the top of the tree. I was like, why do you need that mango?
Yeah,
you
know, for sure.
Like, and that's
something about boys, about boys. So. Awesome. You know, there's a lot more to get into. These are some of the top killers in men. These are really big deal. We want to raise awareness to it. In future episodes, we're going to talk about how to adjust the dose of everything in your life, right, to optimize, how to prevent this premature decay and this premature death so that you can live a long, full, healthy, productive life as a man and as a human.
Absolutely.
So until next time, this is the Dose Adjustment Podcast, and we will see you back for episode number 4, where we're going to talk about how do you pick out the right primary care provider. Until next time.
Take care.
Take care.
Provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.